Okay, so we're in the middle of discussing the big issue within the sugya in terms of how to understand the apparent stira in psakim between the Gemara regarding meperos, right, where the Gemara in Lamaches assumes that right, meperos lose the original bracha of the fruit, it gets downgraded to shahakol, Hashenken, the Gemara in Lamaches Amun Aleph, which assumes in the context of meshlakos, that the bracha is retained and the bracha warranted is a hadam. So the big question in the sugya was, how do you understand these, you know, conflicting psakim? Right. First, we pointed out there's a small group of Rishonim, the Ra'ah, the Ritzvah, and Deya in the Meiri, who basically say, the way you resolve this stira is by saying that the cases are completely different. Right? The Gemara in Laman Ches, I mean, Aleph, is talking about the liquid itself. You know, when you're dealing with the liquid alone, all liquids alone, you know, bein meishlakos, you know, bein meipiros, the liquid alone is going to be shahakol, everyone agrees to that. While the Gemara Lama Tassim and Aleph, which paskins hadama, is only in a case where you're talking about eating the liquid alongside the original vegetable be'et. So it's a mechudish application of Ikar and Tafel, but the Gemara Lama Tass is a completely different case than the Gemara Lama Ches. Lama Ches is talking the liquid alone, the Gemara Lama Tass is talking the liquid alongside the the be'et. The normative understanding of the Rishonim is that no, both Gemara and Laman Ches in the context of Meperos and the Gemara and Laman Tess in the context of Meshlakos, they're both talking about the liquid itself. And yet there's a distinction between the liquid of Meperos, which gets Shahakol, and the liquid of Meshlakos, which retain the original Hadam. And the question is why. So the first Mahalach, right, presented by the Rush and adopted by the Kesef of Mishnah, is that the chilik between one and what, Shmuel? What's the chilik according to the Rush? Exactly. And what's the case? What's the chilik between the cases? What's the factor?
The bishul has more tampli and then schita.
Exactly. Right. According to the first mahalak, the chilik is between schita and bishul. That right. The schita in the context of lamaches meperos is when the liquid comes out of, you know, squeezing the fruit. In that case, the tam is, you know, weaker. We'll say mashenkin. The case of Lamates is the case of Bishul, where you're Mavashel, the vegetables and the tam, and that Bishul causes the tam to go out to the water. So in that case, the tam is stronger, quote unquote. And in that case, the bracha is retained. So again, according to the first Mahalach, the chilik between the cases is between Bishul and Schita, not really between Yerakos and Peros. So we started analyzing this Mahalach last time, pointing out right a number of the assumptions in terms of right that the bishul is more effective in taking out the tam than schita is. We pointed out this seems to be a machokis there. We try to avoid assuming it's a machokis mitzias and try to suggest that the chiluk is, you know, whether the koveya is the strength of the tam or whether the koveya is the tam reflecting the tam of the original pri, that's the koveya. That's what we discussed last time. Now I wanted to just continue analyzing the shita of the Rush. Right, according to this mahalach of the Rush and the Kesef Mishnah, if the chiluk is really between bishul and schita, right, and not between, say, peros and shlakos, so then you would assume that if you're mevashel peros, then the same din would apply. That just like if you're mevashel yerakos, the original hadama is retained. So you would assume the third assumption, right, of the Rush, is that if you're mevashel peros, then again the bori priya eitz would be retained in that case, in terms of the mayim, the resulting mayim with the tam of the pri. So this idea, right, that according to this mahalach, that the mei bishul of peros should be treated just like the mei bishul of shlakos, there are a number of makoros for this, starting with the Rush himself. So if you go back to the Rush, right, everyone turn back to the Rush. In Perek Vav, Simen Yud Ches, after the Rush, right, develops his Mahalach, he points out, and we'll see the Lashon is going to be important, that if the same Bishul, if you apply Bishul to Meperos, you should have the same din. Shmuel, you mind, is it the Efshar? According to this Mahalach, if you are Mevashel Peros, then the same din should apply to that the original Bori Pri ate is retained. But what's interesting about this Lashon of the Rush, Shmuel? What's the one word that seems Efshar? It seems like the Rush only says this, but Torah is Suffolk. And the question we're going to have to get back to is, what do you mean? If you accept this Mahalach, that the chilik between Laman Ches and Laman Tess is the chilik between Schita and Bishul, so then it should be Torah's Vaday. if you're mevashel peros, that the original bori peretz should be retained. So while the Rush points out that the din that the right bishul of peros should, you know, retain the bracha, he only says it's b'tor safek, and the question we have to get back to in a couple moments is why is there a safek? It should be b'tor zvada. Oh. Just to, you know, bring a couple of other makoros, right, that within this approach that, you know, that the if you carry over the bishul to meperos, that the same din of, you know, of the original bracha being retained, you also have that not only in the Rush, but another makor for this is the tour. Or the tour in Reish Hay. Anybody have the tour with them?
Yeah.
But the tour in Reish Hay, when he's quoting his father the Rush. You see, not that long you have it. We're in Reish Hay. I believe, I guess if you have a fancy one, it's Reish Hay. Bet, right? Sif Beis. This is starting to say Varia Ladavar. And Reish Hay Beis. Say Varia Ladavar Mashkin Hayotsu Min Apri. No. Shmuel, do you see it?
Yeah.
Shmuel, would you mind? Oh, yeah, sorry. Tell me you have it, or? I don't mean to. Shmuel, I'll just go for it if you don't mind. No, this is Varia Ladavar. It says Varia, I'll just read it. Varia Ladavar, the Mashkin, I think it's after he quotes, after he rejects Rabbi Yechiel.
Ah, okay.
Oh, sorry, it's in the Gimel, sorry. Sorry, in Gimel. So you go for it? Varia Ladavar. Right. So he says this idea, right, that according to the Rush, if you're mevashel the peros, then the resulting fruit soup, right? I think fruit soup is made out of, you know, cooked fruit. So if the resulting fruit soup, according to the Rush, should get a ha'etz. Right, so the tour again points this out, that if you adopt my father, the Rush's mahalach, that the koveya is bishul, so then bishul of meperos, or meperos al yidei bishul, should be ha'itz. But what's interesting that the tour says is petoras vaday. That's so interesting. Well, the tour earlier in Reish Beis quotes his father, and says this ha'ara petoras safek. This is that meperos al yidei bishul, you know, is efshar that it's ha'itz. In Reish Hay, he quotes his father, Betorah's father. And as you're pointing out, it makes sense to say Betorah's father. Because if you accept the Rush's Mahalach, that the Koveya is Bishul, so then the Bishul of Peros should be a Eitz, it should be a Davar Pasha. So you have the Rush who says this, Betorah's Safik. You have the Tur who says it's Betorah's Vadai. But then if you go down to the Shulchan Aruch, this is in Reish Beis Sif Yud. Right, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rush again and uses the Lashon of the Rush and it says it's Betorah's Safik. It says Vaharash Kasav, the Efshar again, Shem Nichnas Tama Pri Bimayim, Mivarak Bori Pri Ayitz. According to the Rush, it's possible that if you were to cook the fruit, then the resulting fruit juice, fruit soup, would get a Bori Pri Ayitz. So the Shulchan Aruch, I'm quoting the Rush, again keeps the Lashon Safek of the Rush, and only says it Petorah Safek. So again, you have the Rush, the Tur, and the Shulchan Aruch all saying this idea that according to this Mahalach of the Rush, if you're Mevashal Peros, the resulting bracha should be Ha'etz, but the Rush and the Shulchan Aruch only say it B'Torah Safek. And the question we have to ask is why? It sounds like Misvara, if you accept the Rush as Mahalach, it should be B'Torah Svadai, that May Peros Al Yedei Bishul should be Ha'etz. So what's the basis of the Safek? Anybody have any idea? Anyone see the Taz? So if you see the Taz, Sif Katan Tes, has two suggestions. Right? The Taz's first suggestion is basically Lav Davka. He says, look at the Tur. Look at the fact that the Tur in Reish Hay says it Petorah's Vaday. So it must be that the Tur understands his father as Lav Davka. The Rosh didn't mean Efshar as only a suffix. It's Torah's Vaday. So the first Mahalach is to say Lav Davka. Right? The Rosh didn't mean it when he said Betoras Safek. Really means Betoras Vaday. So the first Mahalach, first explanation is to undermine the assumption of the question to say, no, really the Rush is Betoras Vaday. And that's why the Taz says, oh, that's the way the Tur must have understood his father. right? It really is b'toras vaday, and the lashon of efsher is ladavka. But again, that ladavka is always not so appealing, and we know, like the Rush, sorry, when the Shulchan Aruch quotes it, and right, the Shulchan Aruch is saying everything right lemaisa, it seems like with the fact that the Shulchan Aruch keeps the lashon of efsher, it sounds like the Shulchan Aruch really understands it as still a safek. So, I guess Chazra Kusha L'Duchta, how can you understand what the basis of the Safik is? So the Taz has a second explanation. Anybody remember the Taz's second explanation of why it's a Safik? Yeah, Gabriel?
No, he's really saying, he's suggesting this to answer up Tos's question, Tos's Chilk. Tos said that there is Yesh Chalik between the case of Meperos and Meshlakos, but he didn't actually say what the Chilk was.
Exactly. So the Rush is just offering this suggestion, b'toras suffix. Right? So the Taz's second day said, yeah, this whole mahalach of the Rush, that the chilik in the sugya is between bishul and schita, says the Taz, maybe the Rush is misupik about the whole idea. Maybe the Rush is saying, this is a suggestion to explain the yesh l'chalik in Tosos, but the Rush himself is not confident about the whole mahalach. The Rush's whole mahalach, the whole suggestion, the chilek between Bishul and Schita is only b'torah safek. So again, so according to the second explanation of the Taz, the Rush is mesupik about the entire approach about the chilek between Bishul and Schita, and therefore only says it b'torah safek. So again, the first explanation is that it's lavdavka, it really is b'torah zvandai. Second explanation is that the basis of the safek is that the Rush is not sure about the homa halach. He's not sure whether the chilek is really between Bishul and Schita. Maybe there's some other mahalach, such as the Rash, which we'll get to. He's not confident at all. But I'd like to suggest maybe a third mahalach, that maybe the Rush is confident about the chilek between Bishul and Schita, but he's not sure whether that's the only chilek. Maybe there might be another factor. What could be, what other differences between the cases on Lamed Ches and Lamed Tes, besides for the fact that Lamaisa, the case of Lamed Ches of Mei Peros is Schita, and the case of Lamed Tes of Shlakos is Bishul. What's another chilek between the cases, besides for Bishul and Schita?
Okay.
That's not Mefurish. What's the other?
Immeasurable?
Perhaps. Maybe the Rush is saying, although one chilek between Lamed Ches and Lamed Tes is Bishul versus Schita, there's another chilek at hand. Perhaps, maybe the Rush is not sure whether the only chilek is between Bishul and Schita. Maybe there's another chilek between Yerakos and Peros. And we'll see maybe such a chilek is going to carry over perhaps to the Rambam as well. So maybe the basis of the Rosh HaSafik is not like the Taz's second approach, that is mesupik about the whole chilek between Bishul and Schita. Maybe the Rosh is confident that that's a chilek, but he's not sure that chilek is sufficient. Maybe not only do you need Bishul, but perhaps it's only Bishul of Yerakos. Possibly, maybe that the Bishul of Yerakos brings out a stronger tam than the Bishul of Peros. So again, important that maybe the Rush, again, is not mesupik about Bishul versus Chita, but he's mesupik about whether that's sufficient. Maybe you need two factors, both Bishul and Tavka Bishul of Yerakos. Fine. Was that a hand? Yosef, is that a hand? Okay, fine. So Ad Kan, this first Mahalach of the Rush, again, and trying to understand all the different assumptions of the Rush, the overall Mahalach of the Rush, which is the Chilek between Bishul and Schita, we analyze a number of the assumptions. Now moving on to the second mahalach, the mahalach of Darko Bahachi, the factor of Derech. And according to this second mahalach, again, the chilek between Lamed Ches and Lamed Tes has nothing to do with Yerakos versus Peros. The chilek according to the second mahalach has everything to do with Derech. What is the Derech of people to use this fruit or vegetable? Is the Derech to use that fruit and vegetable in the be'en state, to eat the vegetable or fruit on its own? Or is the derech what, Ellie? What's the other possibility? Not to eat it be'en, but rather to use the fruit or the vegetable, rather for its juices, right? So according to the second Mahalach, the chilek between Lama Ches and Lama Tes is about what is the derech. Lama Ches of an olive which says may peros get a shahakol, that's talking about cases where the derech was to eat that fruit be'en, and so therefore if the derech was to eat it be'en, so then in a case where you don't use it for its ordinary purpose, but you rather use it for its juices, so then it's going to lose its bracha and get a shahakol. But the Gemara Lama Tes by Shlakos is talking about a case where it's the derech to use those vegetables to cook them or to use them for their juices. Therefore, since that is the derech, so because it's the derech, therefore the bracha is retained. Yes, Avi.
We're saying like these pears, the derech, not like all pears.
Not yeah, or correct. Okay. We're gonna get to that in a second. But Bepashtus, right? The simple idea is that the sole koveya of the chiluk is derech versus not derech, and therefore. And we'll get to the Rashba who's going to say this. Therefore, if you have a case of peros whose derech is to use for the fruit for the juice, so then the ha'etz will be retained. And if you have vegetables whose purpose is to eat be'en, so then it's going to lose its bracha. Okay. So who's the most famous person who adopts this approach? The chiluk is derech.
The Rashba.
So everyone who has the Rashba can just open it up. Very important to look at the lashon. The Rashba is the person who's most famous for adopting this approach. The sole koveya of the chiluk is derech versus not derech. And after we see the Rishonim who adopt this, we'll then get to the explanation of why derech plays a role. Right? What's the lamdas behind it? Why does derech somehow get out of the chisaron? And if you see the Rashba again on Lamed Chasam and Aleph, is Dira Maschil Ubevadai. If you have at least my version, anybody have it open? You got it, Elimelech? So he's starting from an Elam Mashma to Taima. There's when the Rashba starts presenting his Mahalach.
Elam Mashma to Taima, Chadarshinon, the cave on the low hoil, shame true mask, it's the Peros, the Vad Miayan Mishaman.
So what's the, as we learned last time? So what's the Rashi's Mahalach in terms of what's the nature of the chisaron of Zeya Ba'alma?
And it's not; it doesn't have the shame of the actual peyri.
Exactly, and particularly because the lack of chashivas. Right. Exactly, because the juice coming out of the peyros is not chashiv. It's in right Zeya Ba'alma. It doesn't have the status of mashke. It's just Zeya Ba'alma. Right, so it's very important to note that the Rashi's Mahalach to Zeya Ba'alma, and to understand then the factor he's about to mention of derech in light of that. We're going to get back to this. All right, v'chomitz. Finally, we explained last time. But now he has to contend. Okay, so now that Zeya Ba'alma is a chilek in lack of chashivos, that the resulting liquid is not chashiv at all, and therefore it only gets a shahakol. So now the question is, okay, so therefore what's the chilek between Lamed Ches and Lamed Tes? This is very important. Below Damya,
the Maya the Shalki, Maya the Shivasa, the Hanu, came into Romachilasan, who I the Shlika, Meshlikasan Kamosan.
So what's the difference? So why is Lamed Tes? Why is the factor of Zeya Ba'alma not carry over to the case of Meshlakos?
Meshlakos is Romachilasan.
Exactly, because that is the derech, right? Since most people use the Shlakos, use these cooked vegetables for their juices. So therefore, the juices retain the original bracha. But any case where the derech is not to cook it for its juices, and not to squeeze it out for its juices, but rather to eat the item be'en, then we're going to say that the juices do not retain the original bracha. Key line, one more line. Oh, but you mean the Gemara in Lamed Ches seems to be talking that all may peros getting shahakol? He says, no, that's not it. It's only limited.
Right.
So the Gemara in Lamed Ches is limited to may peros, where it's the derech to eat it be'en. Since the derech is to eat a pe'en, then and only in those cases do the meperos get downgraded to a shahakol. So it's very clear from the Rashba's lashon that the sole chiluk between, the sole koveya is the factor of derech. Doesn't matter whether it's schita, doesn't matter whether it's bishul, it's very clear. It says, lemishlike, lemischete. Basically, there's no chiluk between schita and bishul. There's no chiluk between yurakos and peros. For the Rashba, the only chiluk is derech and not derech. Very clear, the Rashba is adopting this mahalach. So the first Rishon, most prominent Rishon who adopts this second mahalach, the Koveya, is Derech, is the Rashba. A second very important Rishon who does this, who adopts this factor of Derech, is the Chumas Adeshin. If everyone can take out their Radamam Kamashi, I have the Chumas Adeshin here. Again, the details of what he's talking about are less important, but it's clear from the She'ila, that we're dealing with a case where some types of fruits or vegetable which are completely liquefied, right? Nimuchin the Gamre. Right? So the question that he's discussing is that if you completely liquefied the fruit or vegetable, so what's the bracha going to be? So it starts off by quoting the Gemara in Trima. The Gemara in Trima, the Pashas, is the only time Trima retains its original bracha if it's not completely liquefied. Right? If the Shinoi wasn't complete. So he says, but if it's completely liquefied, it sounds like it's Shahakol, with one exception. A very important exception. You see, it starts with the Ishlomer, three lines from the bottom. Aaron, would you mind reading the Yesh Lomer? Let's give three lines from the bottom of the Chumas Adeshin. All right, because the Chumas Adeshin here is explaining, but why are there certain cases from the Gemara where it seems like even though the item is completely liquefied, yet the original bracha is retained? It says, V'yesh Lomer. What's the derech? It's Orchayu to what? To crush it up completely.
Consider that there's still
So what's the Chumas Adeshin's chiluk? When do we say that completely crushing, completely liquefying an item basically constitutes a shinoi and therefore it loses its bracha? Only when it's not the derech. But if it's the derech, so then the factor of shinoi is not going to apply, and a very important lashon mishumachi, still chashivin kaimi bimosayu. There's no shinoi, it's still considered its an original state, because that is the derech. So the Chumas Adeshin, again, not in the context of meperos per se, it's really in the context of trima, but the similar concept, which basically says that if you liquefy, you totally change the tsura of an item, but as long as it was the derech to have such a shinoi, the derech, the factor of derech, is going to undermine that shinoi and say, no, it's still considered to be in its original state. So the Chumas Adeshin, similar, parallel to the Rashba, but we'll see a little different, is basically saying that if you have the fact, if it's the derech to change the state, so then the original bracha is going to be retained. Yeah.
This means that brachos can change over time?
Based on the derech? Yeah. That's what it seems like. The derech is based on, yeah, that's what it would seem. Very important. Okay, good. So you have the Rashba and the Chumas Adeshin. Basically, both saying that the koveya is derech. We're going to get back to when we're discussing what the nature of this factor of derech is. We're going to see, but there is an important difference between the Chumas Adeshin and the Rashba in terms of what the chisaron derech is coming to undermine. But we'll get back to that in just a moment. Before getting to the lamdas, who's the other prominent Rishon who invokes this factor of derech? The Rambam. Does someone have a Rambam? It's very important to see the Rambam in full context. So the Rambam in Perek Ches, Hilchos Brachos, Halacha Dalet, basically invokes this factor of Derech, right, to explain why it is that Meishlakos retain their Adamas. Ari, we're discussing this in Seder, so do the honors. So very, very important. It's the Derech to further cook cooked vegetables, exactly. Right, you have shlakos. Now you're going to cook those shlakos further water. So if it's the derech, then they retain the bar pri adama. That's another factor. It's only if you did it, if you try to cook right the shlakos in order to drink the juice coming out of it. It's a separate tonight. But now he repeats it. Shememe. Exactly, but very clear, right? The mishlakos are only kishlakos when that is the derech. So in line, seemingly with the Rashba and the Chumas Adeshin, the Rambam seems to be saying that the big factor here is the factor of derech, the mishlakos, kishlakos, only when it is darko b'hachi. So the Rosh Yosef, who's one of the guys, is an achron on Maseches Brachos, is actually written by the Baal Pri Megadim. Sorry, you got right. Right, the Sefer Prima Gadim on Shulchan Aruch is a little more famous, but the same person, the Baal Prima Gadim, wrote the Rosh Yosef. So the Rosh Yosef on the spot, in our sugya, points out that the Rambam seems to align with the Rashba. He says, in contrast to the Kesem Mishnah, remember we said last time, the Kesem Mishnah seems to group the Rambam with the Rosh. Rosh Yosef says, I'm not sure where the Kesem Mishnah is coming from. It's clear that the Rambam is focusing on Derech, and therefore it seems like the Rambam seems to be more of a Rashba person, so therefore reject the Kesem Mishnah who aligns the Rambam with the Rosh, and rather align the Rambam with the Rashba. Right along the lines of the way we're reading it, that the Pashas of the Rambam and his focus on Derech seems to be like the Rashba. But there seems to be an issue here. While the Rashba clearly says that the only koveya is derech, so therefore, for the Rashba, bein schita, bein bishul, bein yurakos, bein piros. Rashba says the only chilek is derech versus not derech. What's the problem with the Rambam's presentation? Exactly, because where does the Rambam put this tanai of derech? Only by shlokos, right? In halacha dalet, right? If you read the Rambam in halacha base, if you go back to halachos, there the Rambam is talking about what, Aryeh? My peros. Exactly. Right? In halacha base, the Rambam talks about me peros. And there he says unequivocally that me peros, which are nischat, get a shahakol. As Ari is saying, the only exception is shemen and yayin. So the big question is, wait a second. If the Rashba was writing his own Rambam, his own halacha sefer, he wouldn't divide me peros in halacha bez and me shlakos in halacha dalad and only mention the factor of derech in halacha dalad in the context of me shlakos. The Rashba probably would combine Mei Shlakos and Mei Peros into one halacha and say, if you have Derech, the bracha is retained. And if you don't have Derech, the bracha is lost. The Rambam, though, seems to separate Mei Shlakos and Mei Peros and only mention the factor of Derech in halacha dalet in the context of Mei Shlakos. So the question is, wait a second, does the Rambam's factor of Derech carry over or not? It's really not clear. So you, just in the Rambam, you have basically three different options, three possibilities. One option is a little lavdavka in the Lashon, which is to say, the halacha carries over, like the Rashba. Right? Even though the Rambam only says the factor of derech in halacha dalet, the same factor carries over to halacha beis, and maybe the Rambam doesn't say it there because, right, the derech, just maybe practically, right, you only have derech, at least in his time, in the context of Mei Shlakos. Maybe in his time, you didn't have derech to have such fruit juices. Could be just technically. But the first option is to say, the Rambam is really like the Rashba, and therefore the factor of derech carries over to all cases, to cases of schita, and cases of peros. All cases are the same. But again, it doesn't work out well with the Lashon. But Misvara, it's the easiest one to understand, because Misvara, right, if the Koveya is derech, why should other factors play a role? Like the Rashba says, derech should be the only koveh. That's one possibility. The other possibility is to say that the factor of darko carries over to meperos, but only in a specific case. Then the second option is adopted by the Maaser Rokeach. What's the case that the Maaser Rokeach says it carries over? Only in the case where you have bishul. Right? The Shlokos version. Right? The second option is that if the Darko Bahachi will only carry over to Mei Peros in the case where the Mei Peros is Al Yedei Bishul. Right? And this is what the Maaser Rokeach says. If you look at the Maaser Rokeach on the Makaros, Avram, would you mind reading it for us? Right, so it says in the case where your peros, where the derech is to cook them.
The Rambam is not clear exactly what the din is because he has two separate zachs. Venira, the huadin,
huatam. It would carry over. He says, oh, but what's the only case that he discusses? Peros, which are
peros, which are the which are l'shechita.
Which are? No, which are cooked. Darkum l'ochlam shlukin. It's very important. He says. No. The Ma'aser Rokeach. The case of the Ma'aser Rokeach says carries over is beperos shedarkum l'ochlam shlukin. Right? So Ma'aser Rokeach says that the Rambam would carry over. He says, oh, if you have derech, sorry, it's getting a little confusing, but if it's a derech of peros to be cooked for its juices, so then the ha'etz would be carried over. But the implication seems to be that he's not willing to say
it. Why would the Rambam specifically endow that it only include a case of vegetables being cooked, though? Why would he?
It's not clear, according to the Ma'aser Rokeach. It could be that's just in his time, those are the cases which were derech. You'd have to say something technical like that. What? It could be. It could be that it was less common. Well, he's okay. So you're saying that just technically it could be that was the case, which was derech.
Sort of like a mix of both our answers. Then.
Yeah. Anyway,
maybe it's because fruit people eat alone. Vegetables people don't eat alone.
Okay. I think.
And no one really eats the vegetable liquid either. You could say that's not
dark
either. Carrot juice is disgusting.
Okay, moving on. So again, just in terms of, these chilukim become very important, right? Right. So the first option is to say that there are no chilukim. The derech for the Rambam is the sole koveya. So bein peros, bein yirokos, bein bishul, bein schita. First option, again, doesn't work well with the Lashon. Second option, the Ma'aser Rokeach, is that, dark abachi will carry over to peros, but only in the case of bishul. Fine. The third option is that, no, this works the best in the Lashon, hard to understand misfara, but is that, no, the Rambam is meduyuk. The only case where dark abachi applies is in the case of vegetables. And the question is going to be, why? Right, what's the chiluk between vegetables and the fruit? If the koveya is derech, what's going on here? So we're going to get back to that in a moment. But it's basically, in short, just to spell out, while the Rashba adopts this derech approach and thinks that the derech is the lone koveya, the Rambam, who adopts this derech approach, is open to certain chilukim, whether it be a chiluk between bishul and schita, according to the Ma'aser Rokeach, or it's a chiluk, let's say, bepashas in the Rambam, between peros and yirokos. There is a possibility, given the Rambam's presentation, where he only mentions derech and halacha dalet in the context of the bishul of peros, of yirokos, and doesn't mention halacha beis in the context of schita of peros, it seems like the Rambam, who, even though he adopts the derech approach, seems to have certain limitations. And the question we have to get back to in a couple of minutes is, what's this idea? What's the basis of these chilukim? Shouldn't derech be the lone koveh? We'll get back to that in just a moment. So now that we've seen the Rashba, the Chumash Hadeshen, and the Rambam all adopting this approach of derech b'hachi, now we have to understand, how does it work? Why does it matter that that's the derech? And again, we have to analyze this in light of the two different mahalchim of what the chisaron of Zeah Ba'alma is. Right, that's why we structured the sugya. We first tried to identify what's the chisaron of Zeah Ba'alma, and then once we identify the nature of that chisaron, we're then going to analyze all the different details of the sugya. This is a perfect example of this, right? So we have two different mahalchim about whether the chisaron of Zeah Ba'alma is either a chisaron of shinui, or it's a chisaron of lack of chashivas. We're going to have to analyze, does derech play a role in both of these factors? And how does it undermine both of these factors? Or does it only undermine one of these factors? And how does it undermine, if it does, how does it undermine these factors? Okay. So let's first start off within the Shinoi approach. Right? We're going to see within the Chumash Hadeshen, right, it's very clear that the Chumash Hadeshen is dealing with the issue of Shinoi, right? Because he's dealing with Shrima. He's talking about a case where you liquefy the pre itself. Right, so there's no issue of eno chashiv in the sense that it's an insignificant aspect of the fruit because you're liquefying the guf hadavar, and yet the Chumash Hadeshen says that when it's the derech b'hachi, there is no shinoi. Remember, the lashon of the Chumash Hadeshen is that as long as it's the orchayu b'hachi, mishumachi chashivin kaimi b'mosayu, there's no shinoi in that case. So what's the svara? What's the svara? How does the factor of derech b'hachi undermine shinoi?
Because you're not changing it from
positive. What? Positive. Excellent. It's the idea of shinoi le'iluya, right? The idea that we've seen that even though, yes, it's a physical change, but we know there are exceptions, that the chisaron of shinoi doesn't downgrade the bracha when that shinoi is a positive, is a constructive shinoi, Right? So according to the right, so within the Shinoi approach, and this is clearly what the Truma Sedashin is saying within, that the factor of Derech is going to establish that it's a Shinoi Liluya. It's a positive Shinoi, and therefore that positive Shinoi is not going to result in the bracha being downgraded. It happens to be when most Achronim present this factor of Derech, the way they say it is that, oh, this factor of Derech like, must align with the Shinoi approach, and it's based on the idea that, oh, when it's Derech Bahachi, it's considered a Shinoi Iluya, and therefore, that positive Shinoi doesn't downgrade the Bracha. Yosef, where else do we find in the Gemara this idea of a positive Shinoi not downgrading the Bracha? Where do you have this in the Gemara itself? Do you remember?
One minute above.
Lamed Vav in the context of what? Shem. So let's look at it again, because now we can revisit a very important Rashi in that context. The Gemara in Lamed Vav Amud Aleph says this idea explicitly, that even though there's a factor of Shinoi, but if the Shinoi happens to be a positive Shinoi, like in the context of Shemen, of a Zayas, an olive being turned into Shemen Zayas, to olive oil, in that case where it's a positive Shinoi, so then the Shinoi is not going to downgrade the Bracha. Right? So let's just read the one line in the Gemara Lamed Vav, and then we'll be able to appreciate the very famous Rashi on this spot. So, right, the member of Rav Yochanan or Shmuel, you have it, Yosef? You see Shemen Zayas, that one line? First words in the line is Amar or Amar Rav Yochanan, on Lamed Vav Bet Aleph. See Shemen Zayas, Mevarchim Allah.
He's different than Shemen, the first word.
Oh, no? I think they keep the Gemara the same.
No,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's scandalous. I didn't know that.
It's the same. It ends and starts in the first
really?
Word. And like the same, the first word and the last word is the same.
I didn't know that.
They
switch
it. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
but okay, either way. It's one line. Adav, as a welcome back. See, Omer of Yochanan?
That's
right, so it's Shemen Zayas. Even though when the Zayas is converted into Shemen, it still retains the bracha.
Even though it's changed, it's still considered a priest.
So Gemara at first has a Havmina. Oh, that shows that Shinoi never downgrades the bracha. Right, that's the Gemara thinks in the Havmina. Therefore, in the context of Kimchot Tzitzit, Shinoi. There's no din of Shinoi. Shinoi never changes the bracha. That's what Shemen Zayas establishes. The Gemara says no. There is a concept of Shinoi, but Shemen Zayas is different. Midami.
Why is this comparable? How could we say that this is comparable? Here it doesn't have a higher level to go up to.
Exactly.
But here grapes can become wine.
Here in the case
olives
of
olives can become Shemen Zayit.
I'm sorry because you're jumping in the middle here, but Hasam in the case of the Shemen Zayis, Lesle Iluya Achrina. Here the Shemen is the ideal form of the Zayis. Therefore, that's when Shinoi doesn't apply, because that Shinoi is constructive. Hacha, back to Kimcha Desiti when it comes to flour, there, you know, the intended purpose is not to be eaten as flour, but rather to be eaten as pas. So therefore, Shinoi does play a role. So here is a very well-known, very important Rashi. So here is, this is where Rashi explains the very important klal, that the chisaron of Shinoi is not going to apply when the Shinoi is a constructive Shinoi, when the derech was for, is to use the item for this changed purpose.
Goes out of its original status of being a pri, but it hasn't yet gotten to the stage of being in the normal way it's eaten.
Right, in most cases, right? In the case where you're not in the Iluya Achrina, so
you take the kernels, you grind them into flour, it's no longer a pri, but it's also.
Exactly, so it's no longer the original pri to get dama.
Is always as soon as you squeeze it, it becomes Shemen Zayin, and that's the normal way to use olives just to get the Zayin.
Because, again, this is the Derech factor, because the purpose of planting olives, right, is to be able to get the olive oil. Hilkach priyu, therefore, even though it changed forms, but that new changed form, which is a constructive change, that new form of the oil is still retains the shame pri. So again, so the way to understand the derech, right, idea within Shinoi is very reasonable, and this is the classic way to understand this derech idea. based on this Gemara Lamed Vav. Look, because we know that the Chisaron of Shinoi doesn't apply when it's the Derech, because when it's the Derech, then the Shinoi is not going to downgrade the Bracha, just like you have by Shem and Zayis. And this Mahalach of explaining Derech within Shinoi works very well for the Chumas Adeshin, as I was saying before, because the Chumas Adeshin is clearly dealing with the Chisaron of Shinoi, because he's dealing with the case of Trima, where you're liquefying the Guf HaDavar itself. So there was a point that in the previous Shiram, the only Chisaron is the change of form. And the Chumas Adeshin is saying, oh, when it's a Derech Bahachi, then the change of form doesn't constitute a Shinoi, and is not going to downgrade the Bracha. So the first way to explain the role of Derech is within the Mahalach of Shinoi, to say the Derech undermines Shinoi. And this is the way many Achronim explain this factor. But it's very important to know, within this approach, right, that basically the Derech is undermining Shinoi, there shouldn't be any Chilukim between Peros and Yirakos, between Bishul and Schita, because the whole point is if this is the Derech, there is no Shinoi. If it's not the Derech, there is a Shinoi. There's no room, according to this first explanation, for any Chilukim that we saw in the Rambam, right, between Peros and Yirakos, and between Schita and Bishul, because the long Koveya should be Bishul, right? Because the idea is, sorry, the long Koveya, rather, should be Derech. If it's Derech, Derech undermines the Shinoi. If it's not Derech, then Shinoi is going to apply. It's very important. According to this first explanation of Derech, working within the Shinoi approach, there's no room for any of these chilukim, which is so possibly in the Rambam. But we pointed out, if you pay very careful, and I should note, many Achronim assume that the Rashba is along these lines, that the Rashba's factor of Derech is working within the Shinoi approach. But we're trying to suggest right now that no, if you look at the whole Rashba in context, the Rashba throughout the Sugya doesn't seem to be talking about Shinoi. He seems to be talking about what? What's the Rashba halach of Tzei Ba'alma? Lack of chashivos. Yeah. So the same Rashba who learns Tzei Ba'alma as being a lack of chashivos, l'shitaso, you have to understand how the factor of Derech is going to undermine the factor of chashivos. So in contrast to a number of Achronim who just assume that the Rashba's factor of Derech is working within the Shinoi approach, because look, based on the Gemara Lamed Vav, it's very important to look at the Rashba in context and say, no, the Rashba is assuming that the Koveya of Zeya Ba'ama is all about Chashivas. So therefore, if the Chisaron in hand is all about Chashivas, just one second, so therefore you have to understand that the factor of Derech, which is undermining that Chisaron, is all within Chashivas. And you can understand it as follows. It's a very simple idea. The idea of Eino Chashiv is that generally, the Chashiv component of the fruit is the flesh of the fruit. Right, the juice is Zeya Ba'alma. It's Eino Chashiv. That's the insignificant aspect, it's the insignificant component of the fruit itself. But in the case where the Derech, where people plant this fruit or vegetable for that matter, to get out the juice, so then you're not going to call the juice Eino Chashiv, because that's the whole purpose of planting the fruit, was to get to the juice. Right, so within the Eino Chashiv approach, you can also very easily understand the impact of Derech. Because if the Derech of planting these fruits or vegetables was to extract the juice, so then that grants Chashivos to the juice itself. And I think that's the simple pshat in the Rashba. Right? The pshat in the Rashba is that Rashba Shitaso, that the factor of Derech undermines the Chisaron of Zeya Ba'alma Midin Eino Chashiv. Because if that is the Derech, if that's the purpose of planting these fruits was to get the juice, that grants chashivas to the juice itself, and therefore the juice is going to retain the bracha. Sorry about that. I answered? Or okay. Within right this second explanation that Derech is not just about undermining Shinoi, but it could be undermining Eino Chashiv, as you see within the Rashba's presentation, it's possible then to understand some of the chilukim that we mentioned before within the Rambam. We pointed out before that it's possible the Rambam says that Derech only dictates that the original bracha is retained, perhaps only in the case of Bishul, not Schita according to Ma'aser Rokeach, or perhaps only the Bishul of Yirakos and not even the Bishul of Peros. So within this second approach, right, that idea of Derech is working within the Eino Chashiv, you could say that within the realm of Chashivos, perhaps you need two factors. perhaps in order for the liquid to be sufficiently chashiv to retain the original bracha, perhaps you need not only the factor of derech, but maybe you also need the factor of bishul. Because as we saw earlier, there's a possibility that bishul is more effective at bringing out the tam than schita. Or maybe, like we said, right, possibly within the rush, maybe the bishul of yirakos brings out stronger tam than the bishul of peros. So in short, it's possible that the Rambam is also aligning with this eino chashiv approach, that the factor of derech undermines the chisaron of eino chashiv, and once the koveya at hand, once the chisaron at hand is lack of chashivas, and derech is just about giving chashivas, so then maybe derech is one factor which grants chashivas, but maybe you need to be mitzdarif that with another factor of either bishul, in contrast to schita, or davka, you know, yirakos versus peros, because maybe only in the cases of bishul / yirakos is the tam sufficiently strong enough to be considered chashiv. So in short, what we're saying now is that while within, right, the first version to say that darko b'achi is undermining shinoi, there, the only factor which can play a role is darko b'achi. Because either shino le'iluya or shino le'greyasav. Darko b'achi or not darko b'achi, that's it. But if you think it's, the darko b'achi is a simon to chashivos, so then it's, you're open to saying that maybe you need two factors to grant chashivas. Not only darko b'achi, but perhaps davka bishul and perhaps davka yirakos. And perhaps that would explain some of these potential chilukim within the Rambam. It was at hand? No? Oh, okay. That was hand. Okay? So, again, but it's important to know that even though the Rashba, again, is adopting this idea, this approach that the Darko B'achi is granting chashivas, the Rashba himself is not machalik. Right? The Rashba is very clear that the lone koveya is Darko B'achi, even though we were explaining that within the Rashba's overall mahalach of Darko B'achi undermining chashivas, you could have been open to other chilukim, like the Rambam possibly is, but happens to me that the Rashba thinks, no, even in the realm of chashivas, the lone koveya is darko b'achi, and if it's darko b'achi, that is sufficiently chashuv, bein schita, bein bishul, bein peros, bein yirakos. But the Rambam seems to, you know, be adopting this approach, seem perhaps, you know, is machalik, and perhaps thinks that it's, if it's all about chashivas, maybe you need a different, you know, not only the factor of darko b'achi to establish chashivas, but perhaps maybe bishul as well, and perhaps davka yirakos. Fine. Okay. Okay. So far we've basically seen the Rishonim in terms of trying to understand what's the chilik between Mei Shlakos and Mei Peros. Presented two overall mahalchim. You have the chilik, right, the mahalach of the Rosh, which is the main chilik is between bishul and schita, and the mahalach of, we'll call it the Rosh's mahalach as a reference, as a chilik between darko b'achi and in darko b'achi. Now I'd like to move on to basically the halacha l'maisa. This comes up, you know, it's very important. And I'm basically going to see that halacha l'maisa, with one exception of the Chazon Ish, which we'll get to tomorrow, Shulchan Aruch, you know, the Tur, Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah, la halacha, the normative approach seems to be that we're choshesh for both shitos. Both for the Rosh and for the Rashba, which basically comes out, and also we'll document this, but basically comes out, that the, if you're choshesh for both, that means the only time that the original bracha is going to be retained, if it's both darko b'achi and bishul. Right, so since, right, lahalacha, right, the normative approach lahalacha is that we're choshesh for both the Rashba and the Rosh, to basically say the only time the original bracha is going to be retained if you have both factors, both bishul and darko b'achi. And the reason why this is very important is because nowadays, let's say take oranges for example, they're, well, I mean, when they create fruit juices, it's darko b'achi. A lot of times those fruits are planted in order to be used for the juice. Like they're called, they're juice oranges, right? Juices which are, there's one classification of oranges which are planted to eat. There's a whole other classification, other types of oranges which are made, which are planted just to be drunk, right? So the big question is, wait a second, according to the Rashba, if you just took the Rashba, darko b'achi is the only factor, you should be making a bori pra'etz on orange juice, right? Because it's darko b'achi. Right? The reason why that orange was planted was to be made into juice. And presumably apple juice and a lot of... It's a question that the Minhag HaOlam is to make shahakal in all these cases. So what's the reason for that? So we're saying now is because the normative psak lahalacha is that you need both. That the only time the original bracha is going to be retained, if it's both darka b'achi and bishul. And all the cases of juices are all schita. Right, so basically, so lemaisa, the only time you're going to have the original bracha is if it's going to be a like bishul, which is a type of like soup of a vegetable or a fruit whose derech is to be cooked in that manner, which again severely limits the scope of of cases where you where the original bracha is retained. Yeah.
And shem and zayit and yain are exceptions.
Yes. Those are exceptions. That's in the Mishnah. You're basically because those both have chashivas, and there's no problem.
But no bishul.
What?
But no bishul.
Correct, because bishul is only needed.
The side of the whole thing is chashivut.
Exactly, because bishul is only needed for.
Bishul is like a kind of chashivut.
Exactly, in order to grant it, it's a chash of tam to get. That's the lashon of the rush. Yeah.
Do we hold like that? Is there any vegetable that if I put it in a soup, I take it out of the soup, now I make hadama on that soup?
Practically, are there any vegetables whose derech is, like the rove of that derech is to be not eaten be'en, but rather to be eaten for their juice? Well,
bay leaves? That's not a vegetable. Like turnips?
No. Maybe some of those roots. Maybe some of the root vegetables. Maybe some of these like root vegetables whose...
Isn't Shevis... possibly dill.
Could be.
That's as far as it is.
But so you could tell it's a very limited halakha. Again, we're going to see in a moment if you end up eating the be'en alongside this, right? If there's like an actual carrot, then you make a bracha on the carrot, and that's going to be poter the soup, like we saw on the raw on the ritzvah. But we'll get that in a moment. I just want to document really quickly this idea that svarim halacha basically bring down both the rush and the rashba, and basically therefore say like lechumra, right? Since shahakal works for everything, in most cases you're going to end up saying shahakal unless you have both factors. So just do this really quickly. So basically the tour. Right, the tour in Reish Beis basically points out that ordinarily, right, mei peros are shahakol, but mei peros al yidei bishul, that's subject to machlokas between the Rosh and the Rashba. So again, in the case of a bishul, where right, assuming it's a case right, where Rosh would say it's ha'etz, and the Rashba, assuming it's not derech, would say it's shahakol, again he quotes both the Rashba and the Rosh. So again, the tour in Reish Beis basically quotes it as a machlokes between the Rosh and the Rashba. Let's do this in the quick version. Similarly, the Shulchan Aruch in Reish Beis Se'ifim Yud and Yud Aleph again quotes both the Rosh and the Rashba as a machlokes. It says in the case where you have Bishul of Meperos, again, Beis says, in that case, the Rosh would say it gets Ha'etz. But the Rashba says it gets shahakol. So basically, due to the suffix, you'd make a shahakol. Again, so the Shulchan Aruch also presents the machlokas Rosh and the Rashba is not willing to paskin one over the other, and therefore says right misafik you make a shahakol. And this is the Mishnah Brura Nun Beis. Right, this is Reish Beis. Right, Sifkatan Nun Beis. The Mishnah Brura points out that when the Shulchan Aruch says that the Rashba would paskin shahakol. Right, that's a case where it wasn't the derech, right? Because the Shulchan Aruch just presents, may peros al yaday bishul. He says, the Rosh paskins that would be ha'it. The Rashba says that is shahakol. Mishnah Berurah points out that's only shahakol for the Rashba. If it's in a case where it's ein darka b'achi, and it's clear from the Mishnah Berurah if you put it all together, but if you combine both factors, if you have where it's both bishul and it's darka b'achi, that's the one case where you would make ha'etz, right? As we're pointing out, and right. So again, rest there for lemaisa. The only time you're going to make the original bracha of ha'etz in the case of peros or hadama in the case of vegetables is if you have both. It's al yidei bishul. It's not schita. It's not juice. It's like a soup, right? It's bishul, and it's also the darka b'achi. But the Mishnah Brura, and with this we'll conclude, the Mishnah Brura in Sifkatan Nun Dalet there points out, but in this Lamaisa takes place in a lot of cases, but in a case where you have, right, the soup, right, or the juice, but you're also eating the be'en. So let's say you're having a cup of oranges, but you're eating an orange next to oranges. Or you're eating carrot soup, but you're also eating a carrot. Says the Mishnah Berurah, in that case, everyone's going to agree that you make a bracha on the be'en, on the orange, the ha'etz, or on the carrot, ha'adama, and that's going to be poter, the juice, or the soup, which even though that deserves a shakal. Where did we see that idea? In the Ra'ah and the Ritzvah, right? That was the Mechudosh application of Ikar and Tafel, which is actually interesting. Even though most Rishonim don't learn the Sugya like that, most Rishonim say that Mei Shlakos Kishlakos is talking about the juice itself. Not like the Ra'ah and the Ritzvah says, no, it's a case where you're eating the Mei Shlakos alongside the Shlakos. So, but even though we don't paskin like their interpretation of the Gemara, but we do paskin like the Yisod they bring up, that Ikar and Tafel applies in the case where you're eating, right, the be'en alongside the juice, even though, right, you're eating them side by side, neither is being eaten betoras tafel, but still, because the juice or the soup comes from the be'en, that is also a din in Ikar and Tafel, and therefore you make a bracha on the be'en, and that's gonna pater the soup. Or the juice. Again, so a lot of times, a lot of vegetable soups, what ends up happening, if there's any be'en, you basically, what you do is that you make the bracha on the be'en, and that's going to pater the soup, even if it wasn't derech b'hachi. So even if it wasn't derech b'hachi, you know, the problem is that, the soup, according to the Rashba, since it's not derech b'hachi, requires a shakal, but it doesn't matter, because the bracha on the be'en of the carrot, or whatever vegetable is going to be poter the soup, b'toras ikar and tafel, even though the soup itself requires shakal. Yeah.
So would you say ha'etz on orange juice with pulp?
You're saying, is that considered like not a shinui? You're saying, in the case of... That's a good question. So you're saying, is that considered like trima, basically, you're asking? Is that considered like trima, where the tsura is still retained? I guess we'll look it up afterwards. I would assume not. I would assume that's still liquefied enough to an extent. Like, generally, the chilik between like fully liquefied or not is whether it pours. Like, that's the famous thing about applesauce. Is the applesauce, is it, you know, does it pour or not? So it seems like the gedder is, and pulp, obviously, it's still pours. It's just, so I would assume that's still considered a liquid in there.
Also, if I take like carrots in the soup, it still pours. It's the same thing.
But the carrot itself. Do you know sometimes you have soup? You have like, you know, just think of the Schaefer soup, right? You have this, you have the liquid, but then you have like pieces of vegetable.
Well, I have like pea soup. Peas are still
full peas. It depends if it's totally pureed or not. But if they're be'en, you make a bracha on that be'en, and that's gonna pater. Only in the case where it's, you know, completely pureed, then you have a suffix depending on whether it's dark or light. If it's both bishel and it's dark b'achi, then you can make the hadama. But if you're not sure that it's dark b'achi, and also remember, very important, la'alacha, dark b'achi means it's rove. The rove people who plant these items are to be, you know, to be used for their juices. So it's not always so clear. So always try to find the be'en, and that'll cover the soup practically. Let's just talk on the way. But yeah, we'll stop here.